This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:12 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are talking about public appointments. So, de facto Law Minister Liew Vui Keong said in Dewan Rakyat yesterday that the government is working on a mechanism to transfer the power of major public service appointments from the executive to parliament.
This move is in line with Pakatan Harapan's manifesto to reduce the power of the Prime Minister's office. And this, I guess, follows a series of appointments being made by the executive without consulting the Select Committee on Major Public Appointments, and in some cases, the Cabinet, the most recent being Latifah Koya's appointment as the head of the MECC.
Yeah, I really love the incredibly matter-of-fact way that Dato' VK Liew is talking about this, because he's just like, yes, 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 we're doing it, don't worry about it. And it's coming after, yeah, such a tumultuous time, right? I mean, when Latifah Koya was appointed as the head of the MECC, it was with such intense mixed emotions, because so many people were like, yeah, great choice, you know, perfectly qualified, lots of good things going for it, but why the method? And so it's great to see that in some ways, you know, they're just removing, they're removing a point of pain. They're removing any sort of stumbling block towards people looking at a situation. At least the next time, hopefully, once this passes, we have questions over a public appointment, it will be able to go to the MPs. It will be able to be directed a bit closer to the people, as opposed to so far away, you know, and such that there is actually no chance in hell of being heard.
Yeah, the actual problem with this is that there is no accountability, and it's making, rather giving too much power to, and giving too much power to just one person. Because if, let's say, if we look at some of the other appointments they can make, the executive can make, they can appoint the IGP, they can appoint Suakam commissioners, they can also appoint the likes of those that sit on the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission. That's simply way too much power, especially if you're deciding the direction a country would take.
Yeah, and as we head forward, I don't think anybody wants to have that much power concentrated in general, but also it shouldn't be dependent on whether or not you feel you have a trustworthy prime minister.
Yes.
You know, it shouldn't be, the role should be the role. You know, we shouldn't be looking at each person inhabiting the role and going, this one can.
This one cannot.
Yeah, correct. So just removing that, I think, is probably a good idea. So in terms of taking a closer look into this, on the line with us is Ding Joanne, part of the legal support team on the Institutional Reform Committee, also a qualified lawyer. Joanne, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
So why is it important to reform the public appointment process?
Well, as you said just now, I mean, in so many instances, the Prime Minister or the relevant minister has near unfettered power to make appointments to many key institutions. So these are not just the institutions mentioned in the Constitution, like the Attorney General, the Election Commission, the Judiciary, but hundreds of others, so the Competition Commission, Companies Commission, Securities Commission, MAFCOM, also the government-linked investment companies, Khazana, LTAT, Tabung Haji, and the large statutory bodies, FELDA, the Mara, these institutions deal with billions of ringgit and wield vast power. And do we really want to leave the appointments of the people that will head these institutions in the hands of a single person who has absolute power to appoint and to dismiss, and often without even needing to show cause? So the appointments process is opaque and it's unaccountable, and that needs to change.
What is the existing scope of authority of the Parliamentary Select Committee, and what did it set out to achieve?
Well, I think what was clear from this whole brouhaha surrounding Latifah Koya's appointment was that the existing scope of authority of the PSC is unclear, and there is no fixed process in place for the PSC to scrutinise public appointments. I mean, they have stated that they aim to scrutinise major public appointments as per their name, so posts such as the head of the MECC, Suhakam, commissioners, the Chief Justice, the IGP, and they want to act as a check and balance. But there is no specific process in place as to exactly which posts have to go to the PSC and when. I mean, there's even talk, as they have done recently, that the appointments, that the PSC can look at the appointments after it has been made, which seems to be. I don't think it's done anywhere else in the world. So the Vikelius, that's what Vikelius said, that they are in talks with stakeholders, but I think at this point in time, it is still unclear what exactly is their scope and how are they meant to work.
So it's been pointed out by Tun M himself that the Parliamentary Select Committee doesn't have the force of law. Does legislation need to be introduced in order for the Select Committee to be able to scrutinise public appointments?
The short answer is not necessarily. So it depends on which model of appointments you want to follow. So if you look at the US model, where the Select Committee in the House actually approves major appointments, then yes, a lot of these appointments are governed by statute and some by the Constitution itself. So if another body is going to have to approve the appointment before it takes place, then yes, you would need legislative changes. But if you look at the UK model, the Parliamentary Select Committees there, they do not approve of candidates. They merely review the government's preferred candidate, and then they write a report that is then made public that anyone can read. They do not have the power to veto. The minister can still make whatever decisions they want to make, but the public then can look at the report and decide for themselves whether they think it is a good appointment or not. So there is nothing stopping our cabinet at the moment from prescribing through a cabinet office directive that public appointments, that their candidates must be reviewed by the PSC, and then there will be this public report that's written and disseminated before the appointment is made. Of course, it's good practice to formalise this process in a legislation, but it is not compulsory if the cabinet is minded to do it.
The Select Committee called up Latifah Khoya yesterday to discuss her suitability for the role. Was this move appropriate? And I guess shouldn't it have taken place prior to the appointment? It comes off as being a bit redundant.
Well, the Select Committee has the right and power to call people to answer questions. So I guess the question of appropriateness doesn't apply, but it's more of the value. Is there any value in calling the appointee after they have been appointed? In most cases, like in the US and the UK, the review takes place before the appointment is made. And also, there is a question of value when the review is done in private. So in the US, I mean, we even have televised hearings. We may not want to go that far, but in the UK at least, after the review, they produce this public report that anyone can read. And most of the time they say that, yes, the candidate is suitable, but in certain instances they will say, no, we do not think she's experienced, we do not think she is independent, we do not think she is qualified. And they say so, and then it's up to the public to make up their own mind about the appointee. So, but what is definitely evident is that the appointment of Latifah Khoya has been a great opportunity for us to talk about the public appointments process and how we can make it more accountable and more transparent.
So on that note, you did write an opinion piece on The Star saying that an open competition should take place for public appointments. How would that be carried out? I mean, are we talking about flyers? I'm just curious.
Well, actually, this part is equally as important as parliamentary scrutiny. So at the moment, when a position becomes vacant, so let's say the Competition Commission chair has become vacant, the minister in charge, which I think is the domestic trade minister, can appoint anyone they want. So it will depend on who they know or who their friends know. Some statutes will say, oh, there'll be they must consult certain people, but in effect, it's closed. It's a closed process. So in an open competition, once a position becomes vacant, the position is advertised with criteria, what qualifications you need, what does the job involve, and anyone can apply. The minister can have her preferences, but these candidates must still go through the application process like everyone else. There should then be a selection committee set up, which can have ministerial personnel, but also senior independent members. And they will sift through the candidates, make a short list, and interview candidates. Then they make their recommendations to the minister. They can rank maybe 1, 2, 3, their strengths, their weaknesses. And the minister can then choose amongst these top three. And they can even publish the names of the top candidates. and let the public comment, which is in fact what they did for the appointment of the Malaysia's representative to the ASEAN Intergovernmental Commission on Human Rights. And this is something that can be done without any legislative amendments, and it can be done immediately.
Does that make the appointment process a little bit less efficient? Because it does sound like it's a bit more time intensive.
Yes, it will take a little bit more time, but it's just like applying for a job in any company now. I mean, if you want a job in BFM, you have to go through a selection process, an interview process, a review process. So if you have to do it to join a company, why not do it to join these large, important institutions? It is just really similar to applying for a job, any job. And we should make it open for everyone to apply. I think that's the major point, that it's open. And you're not confined to just whom the minister knows or whom the minister's friends know, but a much larger pool of candidates.
And would this apply to, I suppose, every position within these sorts of institutions? You know, would that ensure that every appointment made is done in a transparent, fair manner?
Yes, it can apply. And like I said, it can be done immediately, and it can be done without any legislative amendments. So the first step really is open competition. Parliamentary review, we recognise these committees are new, the process is still unclear, they are still negotiating with the executive, and they cannot deal with 100 appointments and write 100 reports, you know, just immediately. So we might need to start small, maybe with 10 posts, and then ramp up from there. If it works well, we can extend it. If parliamentary committees' capacities increase, then more posts can be scrutinized. Not everything needs to go through major appointments committee. It can go to the most appropriate committee. So the committee reviewing the MCMC, the Communications Ministry one day, perhaps, would then review the appointments to the MCMC. And not everything would need to go through the major public appointments committee. But that's in the future. But as a very first step, we can institute open competition and then maybe start with a small selection of posts going through the Parliamentary Select Committee.
Joanne, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
That was Ding Joanne, who is part of the legal support team of the Institutional Reform Committee. And if you have any thoughts on the fact that soon public appointments will be moving towards Parliament instead of being held by the executive branch, then do let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.